Good evening, church. Hello, my name's Andrew. I work at the church. I am James's intern. Cool, well, I brought my Bible tonight. I don't intend to use it. But I think, you know, I still brought it because there is something about it. Something I was thinking about, like a real issue that we're probably going to face in the future in the evening services, is if we had what we had last week, where pretty much everyone just lost it and was on the floor rolling and crying, and in the glory crying, not like bad crying, it'd be really hard to ever preach or minister. So something I want to suggest this evening is everything that I'm saying, I want you to spiritually engage with it. That even if you're not here and you're tired and you're over this, and it's just a Sunday night for you, I want you to just make a conscious effort just to let this go into your spirit, because it's a spiritual message, and a lot of the stuff I'm going to say, if you're not spiritually engaging with it, you're not going to get it. And yeah, so I encourage you to physically go crazy. Awesome. My title for this evening is Portal. We can get the presentation up. Now, some of you young guys will know that this is a computer game, and that is a screenshot from in the game. And for the older people, I ask you just to bear and try understand. But a lot of the guys do play this game, and they know it quite well. Pretty much, you have a gun, which kind of looks like my juice bottle, so I brought it. You have a gun, and you can shoot portals. So you'll shoot one portal there, and you'll shoot one portal there, and you walk through this portal, and you come out that side. There's robots that have the gun thing and you play in-game. I have a movie to show of the game if you want to kill the slideshow and put the movie up. So there's a lot of interesting reactions to that. I think a lot of you are like, okay, this is like a kid's game or something. But pretty much from the word go right now, I'm going to spiritually shoot a portal over here, just showing you, shooting it there. And later on, I'm going to pull that back through, and you're going to see how everything is going to be linked together through this evening. Something I want to explain from the movie that you've just seen is pretty much there's a creator in the world of Portal. And the creator is a computer that makes those robots, and it makes the hardest tests it can, and it sends the robots through those tests, and pretty much the tests will go on forever. And there is no end to it. In a sense, it's kind of like torment, and the robots think, oh, once we get through, then we'll be set free. But they just carry on working at stuff, and they will never actually be set free. They are built for a purpose. The robots were designed by a bad creator for a purpose, and even though the creator was bad, he knew exactly what he needed to give them, the tools like the portal gun, and the know-how and the mental logic to navigate through the tests that he was about to give them. So they were built for a purpose. Then, for some of the challenges, they needed teamwork. Now, if you have played the game, what happens is two of you, you pretty much use two computers, and you come to an arena, and you need to get from here to there. And the only way to do that is to logically think of a way using your friend where he would shoot his portals there, you would shoot there, you work together like that throughout the game. And for some challenges, you need teamwork. Some of the things that you face in life, you need teamwork for them. You can only go so far on your own. Just as each robot may be the fullness of what they were created to be, and they have everything they need, they still need each other to complete the task at hand. Then something else which is really cool is pretty much they can shoot the portal gun as far as they see. Sometimes we'll hear someone else will come in, a minister will fly to Joburg and we'll have a conference and they will preach a message and we will see it and we don't understand it and we think, how are we going to go from here to there? And the means that God's given us is a supernatural portal. That we can pretty much claim what we see, and even though we don't understand it, somehow we can still be here and drawing from what's down there. And that even though you see what's in Joburg, you can pull from that conference while still living in the reality of now. Just as a lot of messages and things that we hear are ideals, and it's like a real high standard, where people will come in and they say, everyone we pray for gets healed, we have a cancer-free zone, and we hear all these things, and they get us excited, and it brings hope to our life. We don't know the means of how to get there. And what happens is we get stuck like these robots, believing that one day we can get to that ideal. If we use our own logic and our own teamwork well enough, and with the best organization we can come to, we can get to that place. And the only way we're going to get there is through a supernatural impartation. Literally, like through laying on the hands or just a prophetic word, something along those lines. Not limiting it, but God wants us to learn to be able to say, I don't understand, I don't comprehend, but there's something about that that I like and what I want. And I'm hungry for that. Then something which was really cool and really funny is you saw the one robot died. The other robot pushed the button, which he didn't know was going to happen, and he pretty much killed his friend. He's like, oh no, you know. The thoughts that came through his mind at that moment would be he's the only one left in that test chamber in that arena. He is on his own. He has lost his team. And I want to encourage you that even though you feel you might be the one carrying all the weight and all the pressure, just like in Portal, in real life, we always have a second chance. And on your second chance, you always have another second chance. And pretty much when you fail, you just restart at the beginning of the level. And yeah, you got to do some stuff to correct the problem, but they just restart at the beginning of it. Now, how much better if in the world of Portal, they have a bad creator? They have a creator who wants them to suffer and to push them as far as they can go and pretty much test his creation to see when they'll break. And that's a bad creator. And they were still built with a purpose. So how much more if we have a good father who has built us for good purposes and he is there encouraging us, telling us almost where to shoot the portals and exactly what to do, where the only thing we require is just hearing his voice. And we can walk in everything that he's called us to. And it's literally just hearing him. In our own effort, we'll say, oh, we'll shoot here, 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 and then our friend dies or something, you know, portal world. And we fail. After trying over and over and over again, for myself, how we finished that game, I don't know if it was me and Byron, we worked on it a bit, and maybe Jason, I don't know. Anyways, we finished the game. Eventually, just sit back, and you're like, what must I do? You know, and at that time, God wants you to hear his voice, and he'll tell you exactly where you need to shoot the portals and just rest. And literally, it's just a step. Like you can shoot a portal way down there. You don't have to walk. There's no effort. You don't have to carry anything. You just shoot it and you go right through. Cool. I was instructed, firstly, to have fun this evening. Secondly, to bring up and answer some questions. Now, just as I've shot the portal over here, I'm going to take a story and shoot even more portals. And literally, you can just pull anything out what you want this evening. God gave me a message that I don't even understand, so I hope you can interpret it differently. You know, like, I'm not saying hear my heart, I'm saying just engage with Jesus. We're going to define portal there. The portal is a doorway, a gate, or a supernatural catalyst. That's kind of my own definition mixed with Google. Questions? I'm just going to go through the questions, and then later on I'm going to actually expound on them, and then hopefully you can find answers for them. The first question, I found a diamond in worship. What does that mean? I found a diamond in worship. What does that mean? Question number two, my family does not get grace, but I told them it's the truth. My family does not get grace, but I told them it's the truth. And question number three, as our family has come into such freedom, but how can we prevent ourselves from going back under law? And I think that question is something that's playing on the back of a lot of people's minds, that even though we understand what Jesus has done for us, we are still always thinking back to that question of God, you know, this is such freedom, but somehow I can mess up and go back to where I was. And I just want to tell you, just as in Portal, there's levels that you step through in glory, there's levels you step through. And when you restart, you start again at the levels that you've already come through. And you can just, yeah, you can even supernaturally skip levels. Cool. Now, God gave me a real heart just to study Moses. And pretty much a lot of people have been talking about Moses for the last while. And if you haven't heard that, then you're not listening to those a lot of people, and you're listening to someone else, which is cool. It's just who I've been listening to, Moses has been an underlying thread that I've seen. So I was like, God, what is up with Moses? I want my own revelation. I want to understand it. I want to have something to draw from. Just as they've said all this, I don't want to agree just with what they've said. I want to, like, consciously crit it and find out the good and have my own revelation just to build on. So what I'm about to tell you, this message is actually completely my own revelation. That I thought I would understand Moses from a point of someone else preaching it, me hearing it, and then just rewording it. But God's given me an actual revelation on the story of Moses, the story of the Israelites and the Egyptians, and I'm just going to share that quickly. And through that, I want you to keep consciously thinking of the questions and the question that stood out the most to you, and look for the answer in Jesus. I'm going to jump through the story a bit. Moses had just left Egypt. He had killed an Egyptian. He went to, I don't know the guy's name, but he was with his family and his daughters, and one day Moses is walking out, and he sees a burning bush. He has an encounter with God. He has an encounter with God's presence. And just as he had an encounter, he could have sat there. He could have sat by the burning bush, and it probably would have burned forever. Maybe it would have died out after a while, because God was like, it served its purpose. It was just a sign that I was showing you, and it was pointing to something bigger. So just as I found a diamond on the floor, what do I do? Moses found a diamond, which was a burning bush. Now, it doesn't really recall of Moses telling the other people. He didn't come to Egypt, back to the Israelites, and say, guys, I found a burning bush. God wants to take us out of Egypt because I found a burning bush. And the burning bush was the sign that shows that what God just wants, burning bushes everywhere. Everyone's going to get burning bushes, and we're all going to leave Egypt right now. God just going to, and everyone who he doesn't like, they're not going to get burning bushes. And by them not getting a burning bush, they're going to know that they're wrong. And they're going to see that we are like God, and God likes us. So, I found a diamond, what do I do? I don't know. If I found a diamond, I believe God would be talking to me about something, and there'd be a reason why he showed it to me. Now, we can either to propose to Jennifer. Jennifer and me are... it's pretty good. Myself and Jennifer, we are going out. You can laugh. Woo! And I'm pretty stoked, and I think I found a diamond. And that diamond's with me, so... That was not planned. Cool. So back to the message. I would love to talk about Jennifer the whole evening, but you wouldn't. So just as the robots, they had portal guns. Moses had a burning bush. You might have a diamond. You might have an encounter. God might rock up and talk to you. Everyone has different means. God has given you different gifts, either spiritually or physically, that something manifests where you have supernatural strength, supernatural energy, a diamond, a glory cloud, whatever it be. That's not the focus. Just as one person gets a glory cloud, that should make us look for something else. You know, that's their gifting. That would be cool if that happened, but I don't want it in the same context. Because not everyone could get a burning bush and have the same encounter Moses had. There is a context to that encounter. Encounters port us to greater realities. we see an ideal. We see something in Joburg that we want, and the only way we can get there is through encountering a supernatural person who can port us. That it's not our efforts, it's not something we can do, but an encounter can make things become a reality. If you want to live a life of purity, of honor, of respect, of love, of seeing everyone you lay hands on healed, the only way any of those ideals and those high standards will come into being is through encounters with Jesus. It's easy to have ideals. It really is. You tell people, let's dream. Everyone's dream is somehow linked to a reality. I want a house in the Drakensberg with a helipad. Hey, Ryan. And that's what they want. I want to go join the army and, you know, show them who Jesus is. Those are awesome dreams, but I want to tell you this, that when you encounter, your realities change. And that when you're working towards an ideal, after encounter and encounter, eventually you realize you're on a completely different path and your ideals change. Your dreams change. And eventually you realize that some of your dreams aren't actually meant to come true. And I say that to people who know how to dream. If you don't know how to dream, hearing that is just going to put you under more bondage than you were initially. We need to realize that our dreams can change, that we need to dream big. Moses had an emotion when he saw an Egyptian beating an Israelite. Moses had an emotion in that instance of something is wrong. I want an ideal where the Egyptians respect the Israelites and honor the Israelites. And instead of Moses putting that ideal and that dream on something he's going to work to and waiting for the supernatural encounter with Jesus to bring the portal that can step him into that reality, Moses acted out in his own works. And he killed the Egyptian. And I honestly believe that that was the moment, the turning point for Moses, where he realized this emotion that he's been battling with needs to turn into a dream. And in that situation, he didn't manage it well. He reacted out and he killed someone. And if you don't know the story, I can't get into it right now. I know you're going to go read it later. There's something about that. We can turn, like some of you are like, I don't have that many dreams. But I'll tell you this, you have a lot of emotions. You have a lot of emotions. And when you see someone on the side of the road begging, hungry, when you see a crippled person walking through the shopping mall, when you see someone with one leg having to hobble around for the rest of their life, and they've accepted that that is the ideal that they're going to live by, you have the means to turn that emotion into a dream and ask for a supernatural encounter that can change their situation. And that God wants to change your dreams because you haven't fully encountered him. And just as everything I'm saying is on a basis of righteousness and understanding who you are, that you can sit here and never shoot another portal in your life and you are completely righteous face to face with Jesus. But for some reason, there is something about levels of glory that God is bringing. Amen. That I don't understand. My theology doesn't comprehend it. I don't like preaching that. I don't like teaching that, but I've seen it. And I can't disagree that for some reason we can step into greater realities of Jesus. And that's something you need to, that yeah, I say that with caution. Question number two is, my family does not get grace, but I told them it's the truth. Moses was in a position of authority. He was a prince of Egypt. He wasn't in line to take the throne, not knowing to them, but his stepbrother was to take the throne. And Moses was born into a position of influence. Pretty much through the circumstances that happened, he was given influence. He never asked for influence. He never sought after it. He never looked to be famous. He never looked to stand up and preach. He never looked to be the person everyone wants to be. He was given that influence. And when you are given influence, I can tell you it brings pressure. And there's pressure that comes on your life because you you are given influence. And a lot of other people want the influence on your life, and they don't know how to supernaturally use portals to get the influence that they have on their life. And they want your influence, and if they had your influence, they wouldn't know what to do with it. They wouldn't understand it. They wouldn't have had the context that you have of the influence that you have on your life. Sorry, I'm going a little off. My family does not get grace, but I told them. Something Moses could have done is honored the Egyptians. He was in a position of authority. A prince can set slaves free. Moses probably had a heart-to-heart connection with his brother. And even if his brother didn't agree with everything that he said, Moses was very, very influential. And he was a prince, just as every single person here who has welcomed Jesus into your heart, you become a prince and a king. Even greater than Moses. Much greater than Moses. And you have more influence than him. But instead of moaning and complaining and killing an Egyptian out of rage and letting your emotions dictate you and not control your emotions in the sense of turning them into dreams, that God can turn into realities. And not trying to use our emotions to make an ideal a reality. Somehow, it's a big theology, but I believe Moses could have taken the Egyptians with the Israelites into the promised land. Because that's big theology, and I don't know, it's probably wrong, but I don't care. Hear the concept of it. Look at the story differently. It's not Israelites in slavery. Like, why did God have to bring plagues and kill people? And frogs and all that punishment to come through. And you know, I think whether or not it was God, I don't know. I'm not down that road yet. But Moses could have used his influence to set the Israelites free in the circumstances that he had. It says that the Israelites grew in favor, they grew in strength, and the Egyptians were scared of them. So they made them slaves. And I want to tell you this, the world is scared of you. And they want you in bondage. In religion, you know, Satan wants you in religion. So my family doesn't get grace. The Egyptians don't understand what God wants to do with the Israelites. What do you do? Do you go kill them? Do you act out in your emotions? I think something that everyone who has encountered the grace of God battles with is taking this relationship between God and me and bringing it to our brothers and sisters in the family that we're in. We don't know how to apply grace to our lives. Unmerited, undeserved love, unmerited favor, just pouring that supernatural grace into our own life. And I want to tell you, there's a way, there's a means to bring that relationship you have with God to influence the relationships you have with people. And that you don't have to have those people who you always battle with and you hate talking to. And you, when you have a family gathering with extended family, there's always that one uncle who always moans at you, or that one aunt who always disagrees with you. You do not have to be a victim to that. You can bring the grace of God into every situation of your life. You have a powerful God who is bigger than conflict, who is bigger than you being stuck in a place where your nation is in bondage, and you are in a power of influence. You don't have to go and kill a mere Egyptian. You are fighting the wrong battles. Question number three. Our family has come into such freedom, but how do we not go back under law? Going back before Moses, there was Joseph. And God gave Joseph a gift to interpret dreams. Now, Joseph didn't fully know how to manage his gift, and he offended some people. And in particular, he offended his brothers. His gift was to interpret dreams. And God used one gift to take a person from a mere farm, in a sense, to a president of a country where he was managing a nation. That is one person using the gift. Now, Joseph didn't recognize the gifts of his brothers. He didn't recognize the call of God on his brothers. From the beginning of time, God wants to restore us to a place of family where we know how to recognize one another's gifts. When you have a family gathering and your cousin has a girlfriend that joins the family through marriage over time, you want to know what she does, who she is, where she's from, what is she good at, what is she like. And just as that same thing, when someone comes into your family, you want to know them, I think we need to catch that thing for the church. That when someone comes through this door, we want to know where they're from, where their heart's at, what they've been through, what's their profession, and what's their gifting. And we need to learn to recognize that on one another if we want to be a productive family that is closely knit. So our family has come into this freedom. Highway has taken supernatural portals in the last 2 years. And we've walked into stuff that we saw as ideals. And we never worked towards them. And if we did, it failed. And eventually, more and more, we're learning to shoot supernatural portals that can take us through things we can't even comprehend or understand or agree with. So how do we prevent ourselves from going back on the law? I'd say this, the key thing is knowing your identity. When Joseph brought his family into Egypt, and Joseph was the president of Egypt, they were kings and queens. They had power and influence. And then somehow, in 400 years, they lost that. And they suddenly became slaves. There's no record of a civil war. There's no record of a debate or anything. Somehow, a powerful nation who had such a call on their life and on the family that they were became slaves because they forgot who they were. And they forgot to recognize the giftings that they had on their lives. That one person realized their gifting and brought his family into a place of power. How much more if they stayed in there? They could have the Egyptians didn't have to die. They didn't have to die in the sea. God's heart is not that people die. And Old Testament stories, we don't understand everything. But God is still good. And the encounters that I've had, the Jesus that I know is still good. Amen. And if the Bible seemingly contradicts, I still know that God's good. Amen. And I still read the Bible. Very good. And reading the Bible's brought this message out. Yeah. Knowing your identity will keep you from slavery and keep you from going back under law. God wanted to encounter Moses from the day he was born. Moses turned an emotion into a dream. And Joseph somehow could have brought the promised land by recognizing dreams and giftings on his brothers. And that's big theology. And I'm not asking you to look through the story, but I'm saying catch the heart of it. That we can recognize the giftings and we can create our own ideals through encounters. And Highway can become a family that walks into everything God has called us to by resting and standing and just using the portal guns and the giftings that we have amongst ourselves. And that we don't need Bill Johnsons and Curry Blake to come and call out the giftings. We can recognize the giftings. Joseph was surrounded by people who were negative and brothers who very easily disowned him. But somehow he recognizes giftings. And if we can recognize our own gifting and honor the giftings in other people, we can really easily work together. And we have a good creator who wants to work with us. I'm going to now step into something prophetic. This morning in worship, I was crying, and God gave me a really cool picture of running a race. And for myself, I did athletics, and probably the most nerve-wracking event was the 100 meters, because it was so short, yet so long. And I had this moment in standing in the front here that you stand behind your starting blocks. Like I'd do this with my legs, I'd be nervous, you're jumping out, you're just keeping yourself warm. And almost all worship's like that, where we're like standing waiting for something in front of us. I don't know, like it's just weird. So I had this picture of me running a race. And I'm going to make this into a movie, just by the way. And I'm just looking to understand it properly, and you'll see it on YouTube when I get the encounters that make it a reality. I had a whole bunch of people running with me. All of them had an agenda to win this race. As I started running, I was slightly behind them, and then suddenly this portal appeared, and in an instant, I was at the end of the race. I was running at full pace, and suddenly I saw the finish line, and I like just stopped here, and I looked back, and I saw them still running. And then in another instant, I was back at the starting line, and I saw them all running. And then I just saw like this explosion, and I was the only one standing on the track. And God said, run as fast as you want. So I got again in the starting blocks. And as I started running, another portal opened, and I landed up at the end of the race. And then I looked back. And then I went back through the portal, and I was back at the starting blocks. And God has said to me, you can try and run as hard as you want, but I'm going to make sure that you get to that finish line. That your dreams are going to become realities. And not through me training hard and working hard, but through me knowing my identity and knowing my Creator. Then I got down on the starting blocks, and the gun went off, and I just walked. And I walked the whole race, and I finished in the best time ever. I had such pleasure in walking, you know, just the race of life. And in getting to the end, I had no problem with going back to the start. Because I knew every moment I was connected to His heart. And even though I achieved things and goals were achieved along 10 meters, 20 meters, 30 meters, I would easily go back to the start at any time. So that's the prophetic vision that I had this morning. So thank you for your ears, for listening.